Okay, let's unpack this. Picture this: a really sharp doctor using a cutting-edge AI to help with diagnoses.
Right, like having this super smart assistant.
Exactly. But here's a subtle thing that can happen. The doctor starts to hesitate a bit, to question what the AI suggests first. And in one case, it almost led to a missed diagnosis of a rare condition, just because of that initial AI nudge.
Wow. That's a striking example.
It really is, and it perfectly highlights what we're going to explore today.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that story really illustrates something experts are seeing more and more as AI gets, integrated into healthcare. We're not just looking at the big splashy AI wins here. We're diving deeper into what people are calling the second order effects.
Second order effects.
Yeah, the less obvious consequences, kind of the hidden ripples that spread out as AI becomes part of how healthcare actually works day to day.
Right, because it's not enough just to be impressed by the tech itself. Our goal here is to give you a clear path, a shortcut really, to understanding these crucial, often overlooked changes.
So you can get a real handle on the underlying shifts beyond just the headlines.
Exactly, without needing a PhD in computer science. And to do this, we've been digging into a range of articles and research looking specifically at these hidden ripples of AI in healthcare.
And it connects to the bigger picture, doesn't it? Putting AI into a system as complex as healthcare. It's not just adding a tool.
No, definitely not.
It's causing these fundamental shifts in, well, how clinicians think, how medical data gets created and used, even how conversations happen in the exam room.
Those are the key areas, right, where these second order effects really show up.
That's right.
So let's start there with how AI is subtly influencing the way clinicians think. That opening story about the diagnostic tool, that's a perfect example of something called diagnostic momentum.
Or automation bias. You sometimes hear that too.
Right, automation bias. It's that tendency to sort of get anchored to the AI's first suggestion.
Locked in almost.
Yeah, even if your own clinical gut feeling is maybe pointing somewhere else.
And what's fascinating, or maybe a bit concerning, is that this isn't just about, one missed diagnosis here or there. If we don't tackle it proactively, it could fundamentally change how future doctors actually learn to think critically during diagnosis.
So it affects the training, the learning process itself.
Potentially, yes. It really underscores how vital it is for clinicians to keep those critical thinking skills sharp and not become, well, overly reliant on the technology. The goal is augmenting intelligence, not replacing it.
Augmenting, not replacing. Good distinction. And it's not just in diagnosis, is it? There's this other trend you flagged, algorithmic defensive medicine.
Yes, that's another interesting one. We're seeing cases where doctors might order tests. Well, maybe not purely based on the patient's immediate clinical need, but more to kind of align with what the AI protocols are suggesting or recommending.
So ticking boxes for the algorithm almost.
You could see it that way sometimes. And interestingly, the way healthcare systems themselves are set up, with their own incentives, they can interact with AI in unexpected ways. If an AI seems to favor certain tests, perhaps unintentionally, it could lead to more procedures.
And potentially unnecessary ones driving up costs.
Exactly. Which leads to another related point, this idea of gaming the documentation.
Gaming the documentation, what does that mean?
Well, there's a concern that some physicians might, perhaps unconsciously or consciously, tweak how they write their patient notes
Tweak them how?
in ways that trigger more favorable responses from the AI systems, especially when it comes to things like insurance claims or reimbursements.
I can see how that could happen, but that sounds like it opens a whole can of worms.
It really does.
Not just for healthcare costs, but I mean the actual integrity of the medical record itself.
Absolutely. And this really just highlights how crucial transparency and accountability are, in how these AI systems are built and actually used.
If the logic isn't clear.
Exactly. If the algorithms are like a black box, it just makes it easier for these unintended, maybe even harmful behaviors to creep in.
Okay, let's pivot a bit. Let's talk about the data itself. That seems like another really complex layer here.
Hugely complex.
One of the key worries you mentioned is training data pollution. Can you break that down?
Sure. So think about it like this. AI learns from all the medical data we already have, right? Tons of it. Now, as AI starts influencing the decisions doctors make, the new medical data being generated is also being shaped by those earlier AI outputs.
I see. So the AI suggestions are feeding back into the data it learns from later.
Precisely. And if there were subtle errors or biases in that initial training data, or maybe in the, how the AI made its first recommendations,
they could get baked in.
They could get amplified and reinforced over time.
Mm-hmm.
You potentially create this cycle of, well, slightly flawed information feeding itself.
That's that's a bit unsettling. An AI subtly teaching itself inaccuracies. And I guess this links to that idea of orphaned conditions, doesn't it?
It does, very closely. Rare diseases, just by definition, don't have a lot of data.
Right, it's rare.
So as AI systems get better and better at diagnosing common conditions where there's loads of data, there's a risk.
What kind of risk?
That these rarer conditions might get even less attention from the algorithms. They become blind spots.
Creating blind spots in the system because the AI is focused elsewhere.
Potentially, yes. Patients with unusual symptoms might get overlooked. And, you know, patient advocacy groups are quite rightly concerned about this.
Understandably. And it's not just about the amount of data, is it? It's also about weird characteristics within the data we might not even notice. You mentioned bias from metadata.
Yes, this is a really subtle one. Things that seem totally harmless.
Like what?
Like, say, the exact timestamp a record was created. Or maybe the specific model of scanner used to take an image.
How could that introduce bias?
Well, sometimes those seemingly neutral details can correlate, maybe indirectly, with protected characteristics like race or socioeconomic status.
Hmm.
So if the AI picks up on these hidden correlations, for example, maybe noticing that patients using older equipment often come from lower income neighborhoods.
It might learn that connection.
It might inadvertently link that equipment type to socioeconomic status. And that could then subtly influence future recommendations, potentially worsening existing health disparities.
Wow. So the data itself can have these almost invisible echoes of past inequalities baked in that the AI then learns.
It's a real challenge.
Okay, let's shift again. Let's talk about what happens in the exam room. It sounds like AI is changing the actual interaction between doctors and patients too.
Oh, absolutely. We're definitely seeing a rise in patients coming into appointments having already consulted consumer AI health tools.
Like symptom checkers and things.
Exactly. And sometimes they arrive feeling quite strongly about a self-diagnosis they've gotten from an app or a website.
I can imagine. Like, they've already decided what's wrong based on Dr. Google AI.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And it can create a bit of tension, or at least require the clinician to spend time carefully navigating those pre-existing beliefs.
Yeah, the doctor has to either confirm it or gently steer them away from what the AI told them. Must create some interesting trust dynamics.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it raises big questions about trust calibration. Not just for the patient, but for the clinician, too.
How so?
Well, clinicians themselves face this tricky balancing act. When do you trust your own hard-earned intuition versus the AI's recommendation?
Yeah.
Especially in ambiguous cases.
When it's not clear-cut.
Right. And there can be this added pressure, maybe subtle, maybe not, to justify why you might deviate from what the AI suggests.
Because the AI is seen as objective or data-driven.
Perhaps. And that pressure could, in some situations, lead to a kind of decision paralysis or just overthinking things.
Which isn't great for efficiency or quality of care if doctors are constantly second-guessing or writing essays to justify their choices.
It's a potential pitfall. And you mentioned something earlier about a shift in medical authority. That sounds really fundamental.
It is. It's a fascinating observation. Coming from medical anthropologists, people who study the social side of medicine.
Okay.
They're suggesting the traditional idea of authority, based mainly on who has the most knowledge, is evolving.
Evolving how? It's becoming more about who can best integrate their human expertise with the insights the AI provides.
So it's about the synthesis, the collaboration.
Exactly. It implies a shift towards a more collaborative model, but that also changes the power dynamics between different healthcare professionals, maybe even between doctor and patient.
That makes a lot of sense. Less about just knowing more, more about working effectively with this new intelligence. And what about the actual day-to-day work for doctors? The patient load? Could AI change that too?
Big time. There's a real potential for AI to handle a lot of the more routine, straightforward cases.
Freeing up doctors for the harder stuff.
Precisely. Which could be great, better use of their deep expertise. But there's a potential downside too.
Which is?
A significant increase in cognitive load. Imagine if a doctor's schedule becomes almost entirely filled with complex, tricky cases that the AI couldn't easily solve.
No easy wins. Just the tough puzzles all day.
Right. You lose those less demanding encounters. And that constant stream of high-stakes, complex problems could lead to a different kind of burnout, purely mental exhaustion.
That really puts it into perspective. As one expert joked, maybe every prescription for AI needs to come with, what was it, migraine medicine?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. It highlights that it's not just about less work, but a fundamental change in the nature of the work.
Which has its own challenges. Okay, let's widen the lens again. Let's look at the institutions, the hospitals, the healthcare systems. Are there blind spots emerging there too?
Yes, that's another area of focus. One potential issue is what's called regulatory arbitrage.
Arbitrage, like in finance?
Kind of. As AI tech develops faster than clear rules and regulations can be established.
Which happens a lot with new tech.
Healthcare organizations might be tempted to deploy AI systems in areas where the oversight is still a bit fuzzy or undefined.
Taking advantage of the gray areas, potentially leading to risks.
That's the concern. Yeah. It's like navigating uncharted waters without a clear map yet.
Sounds familiar. And then there's this term, maintenance debt. That doesn't sound good. Is it about software updates?
Not just updates, it's broader. Maintenance debt here refers to the risk that builds up when organizations implement lots of different AI systems.
Uh-huh.
Without putting aside enough resources, time, money, people, for their ongoing upkeep, monitoring, validating, updating them constantly.
Because these systems aren't just install and forget.
Absolutely not. They need continuous care to stay accurate, effective, and crucially, safe for patients. Neglecting that maintenance, well, the consequences could be serious down the line.
Right. Like any complex system, really.
Yeah.
Needs looking after. And there was one more institutional point. Something about ethics.
Yes, ethical attention displacement. This is a subtle but important concern raised by ethicists.
Okay.
The worry is that pouring so much attention and resources into the specific ethical challenges of AI,
like bias, transparency, etc.,
might inadvertently divert focus and funding away from tackling more fundamental pre-existing healthcare inequities. Issues like access to care, basic infrastructure, social determinants of health.
So the shiny new AI ethics problems could overshadow the old persistent ones.
That's the caution. The ethicists are warning that AI ethics needs to serve the broader goals of health equity and fairness, not become a replacement focus.
That's a really crucial point to keep in mind. Okay, so we've outlined a lot of these ripples, these potential challenges, but the good news is people are thinking about solutions, right? Mitigation strategies.
Yes, definitely. And it's encouraging to see proactive work happening. For instance, designing AI diagnostic tools to always present a range of possibilities,
yeah.
A differential diagnosis.
Instead of just one top answer.
Exactly, to counteract that anchoring effect, that diagnostic momentum we talked about earlier.
Makes sense. What else?
There's work on metadata auditing, actively looking for and addressing those hidden biases lurking in timestamps or device types.
Trying to find those invisible inequalities in the data.
Right, and for those orphaned, rare conditions, researchers are exploring specialized AI models. Trained on smaller, targeted data sets, maybe even clustering related rare diseases together.
Tailoring the AI to the specific problem.
Mm-hmm. And we're also seeing the development of shared decision-making tools.
Tools for doctors and patients together.
Yes, tools designed specifically to help constructively integrate the info patients might bring from their own AI research into the consultation.
So acknowledging that patients are using these tools and finding ways to work with that.
Exactly. And importantly, there's a growing call for new collaborative frameworks, ways of working that really value the diverse expertise of all healthcare professionals in this AI era.
Not just the doctors or the data scientists.
Right. Plus, crucial training for staff on how to critically assess AI recommendations, understand their limits, and finally, really emphasizing things like the quadruple aim.
Which includes clinician well-being.
Yes. Making sure we support healthcare professionals as they adapt to these powerful new tools to avoid that burnout we discussed.
So it really sounds like the main takeaway here is that getting AI right in healthcare isn't just about the tech itself. It's much broader.
Absolutely. You could call it a socio-technical challenge. We need to be just as careful and deliberate in designing the human systems, the workflows, the training around the AI.
As we are in designing the algorithms themselves.
Precisely. Understanding AI's limitations and how it subtly affects how people think and work is just as vital as rolling out the technology.
Okay, so to try and bring this all together, it's clear that AI holds incredible promise for healthcare, truly transformative potential.
No doubt about it.
But its integration is creating these significant, sometimes quite hidden, ripple effects. We've touched on shifts in clinician thinking.
Like automation bias and algorithmic defensive medicine.
Changes in the data ecosystem.
Training data pollution, orphan conditions, metadata bias.
New dynamics in the exam room.
Patients using AI, trust calibration issues, shifting authority.
And even potential blind spots at the institutional level.
Regulatory arbitrage, maintenance debt, ethical focus shifts.
It's a lot to consider.
It is. And getting a handle on these second order effects is really important for anyone interested in the future of healthcare, whether you're a patient, a professional, or just, you know, curious about how tech is reshaping things.
So here's a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over. Looking at all these hidden ripples we've discussed today, diagnostic momentum, data pollution, changing authority, institutional debt, which one do you think might have the most significant long-term impact on healthcare?
And perhaps more importantly, what steps can we start taking now to proactively manage the challenges while still capturing all the amazing benefits AI offers?
It's a huge question, and this deep dive has really just skimmed the surface, drawing on insights from various research and expert viewpoints on this incredibly dynamic field.